It is straight up at 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Mornings with Ed Show. Delighted to have you here. And we are just a couple of days away from rain. So enjoy the lack of it for now. And then we'll get another set of sprinkles here tomorrow night and into Wednesday morning. 8 o'clock Monday means only one thing. It's time for the Artist Corner. And we are delighted this morning. We've been talking about her teaching these classes at Sawdust Art Festival. If you've ever walked in there and you've seen her work, you know what I'm talking about. It is fused glass art. A couple of weeks back, we talked about the wonderful dragonflies and butterflies, and then it was hearts. And we welcome this morning, gladly, Barbara Lawley in studio with us. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
Well, good morning, and thank you, Ed, for asking me to be here.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for being here. I've been wanting to have this conversation for a while. I absolutely love the work you do. And now you threw a curveball at me because as artistic and as flowing as all of your pieces are, as everything you do, as whimsical as it is, you're also an architect.
I am. That's where I started. And I love structure. I love the science of it. But way back when I drew, you know, and right. I always had something inside of me that knew I needed to express myself creatively.
Right.
And I started out in art in Santa Cruz. I went to school there. And then I went back, and my family is science-driven. I've got many scientists and engineers in my family, physicists. And they said, you need to get structure, something that you can support yourself with. So I went back in engineering, and then I finally came back to architecture, which is a blending of art and technology. And then I found glass.
Okay, this is big. I love this story. I love how it's unfolding here. So do you start each piece of artwork with a sketch?
I do sometimes. Sometimes I go walk on the beach because the beach and the ocean and the sand and the seagulls and the beautiful just sunsets we get. Just there's the color of Laguna, the color of our world here is so influencing.
Right. There, I get inspiration. I'm not an artist, but I get so much inspiration from that, what you just described. Everything together, it is being out near the ocean is all of the things, all of our senses coming together at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. So how long have you been in town?
I've been in town since 1989.
Okay.
I have a friend who's traveled internationally, and when we were moving to Southern California, I was married then, he said, if you must move to Southern California, the only place you can live is in Laguna Beach. And he was right. I never heard of this town before, but I fell in love.
I accidentally played basketball here at the half courts and went, I'll never leave this place. I got to find a way to move here. That was my story. So as you... As you create art, as you create these fused, magnificent pieces of fused glass, and I really just kind of want to focus on dragonflies and the butterflies. They were absolutely spectacular and whimsical at the same time. The inspiration you get from the ocean, the artsy, where does this come from in your family if you have nothing but scientists? And
well, I come from a long... Italian line who grew up near Florence, Italy.
Right.
And I think that it was always in my genes. My grandmother was a chef in Italy and in France.
There you go.
And she created, and you could ask her for what a recipe was, and she couldn't tell you. She just threw things together. And I think some of that comes through to me. I love to cook too, but I don't know. I've always wanted to draw, and my family is was really opposed to it. They wanted me to be an attorney or an engineer.
Of course they did. Of course
like
they
that.
Did.
Something right. practical.
Of course they did. And you chose glass over something like sculpting or you chose glass. Why did
I
you choose?
I chose glass. I looked at many medias. I loved watercolors. I loved the way it flows. And there was just something about glass. It's luminous. It's clear. It's colorful. It reflects you, it reflects light, and it just molds itself into a million different shapes and does a million different things for us now and goes back to, you know, pre-BC. It was, I think, 200-300 BC was when they found a lot of the early glass.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's like you can, I get up in the morning and I'm going, okay, I just got to kind of focus because there's so many different ways to go.
Is it less forgiving to work with glass?
It is so forgiving in some ways, really? And some not. I've dropped many pieces. I've broken them and I've put them back together. I've melt them again. And, you know, glass is just, it's an amazing media. I don't know what it is about that. I loved it. I remember I got laid off from my big time architectural job one day and I went to a gallery and bought this beautiful piece of glass, and my husband was less than amused, but but I know there's always been something there.
Right. And as I want to talk about the architecture for a second, because you said something else before we went on air that fascinated me, too. In going back to New York, you went to college at the University of Manhattan.
I went to college at FIT, Fashion Institute of Technology. And I got a dual degree there in interior architecture and in graphic design. And I got the opportunity to work with some brilliant people. I right. worked with a man named Milton Glaser. And in that, I got to work for Jim Henson, the Muppets man.
The Muppets guy.
And
you don't want to talk about creative.
Oh, my goodness.
Tell me a little bit about the creativity that you witnessed there.
I really was so young, and I wasn't so young. I was 29 when I went to work for Milton, and I just was so in awe that I could barely speak sometimes. Right. I was sitting at the feet of giants, and, you know, Bob Dylan walked into our studio one day because they were doing a poster for him, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then Jim Henson was like having Kermit the Frog around. He was just, he would just soothe your fears and just try this, you know,
right.
kind of an attitude. Beautiful, inspiring place to be.
I love the fact that you walked in this door today. I am absolutely I'm loving this conversation. I knew that I would, and thank you for sharing that with us. So you also mentioned the Guggenheim, and your in your architectural brain, you're not that impressed.
Well, I wasn't until I listened to this thing about Frank Lloyd Wright, a YouTube video I'm watching, and he talked about the Guggenheim, how it was reflecting in. It was kind of his thumbing nose at the art and of New York, which is all glass and skyscrapers and things. And he wanted a place where you just could look at the art and stand away from it and come back to it. And you weren't in a bunch of different rooms like you do in the Met or in many museums,
right.
but you could look around and see the art, and his building is art.
Right.
So
does it capture the spirituality that art, that real art can capture, do you think?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
I think when you're walking up, it's just a ramp, so it doesn't make any noise. You know, you're just walking up this right. spinning ramp, and he's many of his buildings affect you that way.
And let me tell you how your art affects me. When I see a piece, and we just discussed that you see me at Sawdust all the time, and when I walk by your booth and I'll see a hummingbird or a dragonfly or a heart, all of your images, all of your artwork really just kind of gives you joy. You can't walk by your booth and not smile. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here. It's the truth about your art. Is that on purpose or is that?
Well, you know, I've seen people who do art that's dark and I think there's a place for it. Right. I understand Picasso's Guernica and many artists who have to make a statement.
Right.
My feeling about art is that I want to show things that make people happy, that brings you joy, that brings you serenity. Then when you look at it on the wall, it brings peace and happiness and excitement too. My butterflies and my dragonflies, a lot of them I'll do in a rainbow of colors. Some of them I've got a feeling that it's the sand and the ocean and the sky to them. They're not just conventional butterflies or dragonflies, and you can see through them, but they're wonderful in a garden, and just, you know, it's like a little spot where you go, oh, I love that.
Right. And when you purchase art from another artist and you hang it on your wall or put it on your mantle or whatever, is it the same kind? Are you still looking for that, or can you put something dark up on your wall?
I've got mostly things that inspire me, but there are those touches. I've got a whole wall that when I walk through a little area outside my bedroom, it's just filled with other people's art, mostly art from Laguna, and artists from Sawdust, artists from the festival, artists from just here and there.
Right.
And I get inspired by everything that I see. The ones that you see in the park, I walk through Heisler, I live near Heisler Park, the sculptures, there's a particular couple of pieces that I love. There's this wonderful octopus and a bench that's right by it that are bronze. And
over on Divers Cove.
It's at Divers Cove, right. I live right near there, and I just am in awe of that art.
Right. I love that piece as well, and there is a serenity that comes when you sit there near that piece, or stand there near that piece. I feel it with you here. And let's talk about teaching others. So Sawdust Art Festival has classes. They're back. They went away for a while. We thoroughly love the fact that they're back. In fact, tomorrow there's a class, and it's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's Cyanotype Photography Made Easy with Gabe Sullivan. And then it rolls on through the week. Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, there's classes. When you're teaching someone else your art, when you're lending a piece of yourself to 1, 2, 5, 10, however many people there are, is it difficult to do that, to open yourself up? And here's...
Oh, I think it's wonderful. It's okay. I teach anywhere from youngsters. You know, I've had people, kids down to 8 years old, and they come up with some amazing things.
Right.
And some people come with art background. Many of them come and say they're not an artist. They just wanted to explore this.
That would be me, right.
And when they come away from it, they are just kind of amazed at what the glass will do when it melts and reforms itself into something special. And I think that it inspires them to do more and look at art in a different way. That it's an expression of yourself. It's a way of calming oneself down and sometimes it's just a moment to just be quiet and serene. I had one class where these three women came together. They're from all over the country, and they wanted to take a class together. They wanted to do something together, and it was raining that weekend. It was miserable. And so they came to my class, and they got to commune over doing art and talk about themselves, talk about their art, and talk about what they were doing, and just the synergy of the class becomes really a fun thing.
Sounds like it's cathartic for you as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And questioning. I wouldn't have tried that.
Right.
There was one person in particular, I looked at it, I'm going, I'm not so sure about that piece. And when it came out of the can, I was just awestruck. It was beautiful.
You just almost answered my question. Where do you learn from now? And I know you learn every day. Where do you learn from?
Where I learn from is by looking around myself. I'm taking currently a class from a master of art, and it's a webinar thing, and it's taught all over the world. And I'm taking it with an old partner of mine from my old architecture firm, Gensler. And she's in Florida, and I'm here. There's people in the class that are from Europe. And he wants to teach us how to look at glass in a different way, because many people look at fused glass and say it's sort of like assembling a pizza. You know, you take a base and you put pieces on top and you melt them together.
Right.
Whereas he says, I want you to look at glass like watercolor, that it blends together. And so I'm learning that, and that's a really neat new thing to learn from this 80-something-year-old man who's been doing glass for 50 years.
So I've been speaking with some canvas artists, oils, whatever, and they talk a lot about color mixture and the importance of knowing colors and knowing mixture. Do you find a freedom in glass art, or are you still holding yourself to that kind of standard as far as color mixture? Are you able to know this is going to be this shade of red? This is going to be this...
No, I think that I know a bit, right. You know, but I'm always surprised. And right now I work with a lot of powders, and powdered glass looks all the same. It looks almost all white.
Right.
And so when you're working with it, initially, it's very difficult to understand what's going to really happen there. But when you get it out, it blends like watercolors.
Love that. Let our audience know what to expect when they take your class.
What they can expect is to have fun and to experience probably some of my feelings about art and design, because I believe that art and design are integral, and the way you place things is important, that you have some sort of relationship between the pieces, and understand about color, and have fun to figure out some place that you might want to put that art, and what happens with glass when it becomes molten, and when it comes back to its solid state. It's kind of a neat event.
So I want to tell you a personal story of mine. I got off work on Friday, and I, not knowing that we were going to have this conversation, and I always go to the beach here right after work. I go down here to the Pearl Street Beach, and I saw a sandpiper standing by itself, perfectly positioned, nothing else on the beach except the sandpiper. And I thought to myself, there's a glass piece for Barbara to work on right there. There's a perfect glass piece. I wish you could have been there with me to see that. What a perfect image, and I would love to have seen that. Maybe someday. Mm-hmm. Maybe someday we'll do the sandpiper. So Sawdust Art Festival has classes once again. There's a class tomorrow. I mentioned that earlier, from 10 to 1 p.m. Sienna Type Photography with Gabe Sullivan. On Wednesday, it's the Magic Castle Family Workshop with Nancy Williams, also a very whimsical artist. And I love walking by Nancy's booth as well. And then you have also Thursday from 10 to noon, Mixed Media Magic with Charlene Yee. And you can get all of this information and book your spot. Make sure you do, because they sell out very quickly at sawdustartfestival.org. Barbara, this has been an absolute pleasure. I can't wait to have you back. Let's talk some more. And between now and then, I know I'll see you at Sawdust.
Okay. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you so much.
Thank you,
8:17, that was Artist Corner. It's the Mornings with Ed Show.